guys. We're so glad you're joining us for this podcast. Our hope is that this message inspires you, challenges you, and increases your faith. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about Tree of Life Church, you can follow us on social media at Tree of Life Church. Now, here's the message.
What I want to speak over today is the heart. And I think it's a super important topic, super important subject. Actually, I believe it's the thing that God is most interested in is your heart. His number one priority is your heart. And so I want to dive into it a little bit, and I want to get straight into it. And Aldo, thank you so much, brother. Me and my wife were talking about this maybe a few months ago, and it really struck me. We started talking about the heart, about what the heart is like, the condition of the heart, the motives of the heart. And so subsequently, I started looking up scriptures over the heart, right? I'm like, well, let me go see what the Word of God has to say about the heart. And when I talk about the heart, I'm not talking about the organ that pumps blood to the rest of your body, right? There's when the Bible speaks of the blood, of the heart, it's really speaking of this inner person, this inner man, this inner woman. It's the heart is that part of you. The heart is what makes up of who you are, your actions and your reactions, your beliefs, what makes you tick, who you are. We know who you are because of your heart. It defines who you are. You really are here where you are right now, and I'm just talking about the state of life, not in this building, because of the condition or the state of your heart, right? And so the heart is super important, and I started looking it up, and what I found when I was looking up is like, okay, the Bible talks about, if you allow me and just kind of put this in your mind, the Bible talks about two hearts, okay? It talks about the natural heart, and then it talks about the spiritual heart, the heart of God, okay? There's a natural heart, and then there is a spiritual heart, which is the heart of God, okay? And it breaks it down in the scripture of what this is, what the natural heart is, and what the spiritual heart is, what the Spirit of God is, or the heart of God is. And the thing is that when we received our natural heart, it's the heart we were born with. And it came from the consequence of the sin of Adam and Eve. When they sinned, the Bible says that sin entered into the world. Really what it was saying is that it entered into the heart. Sin corrupted. Sin began to do what it does best, which is disobey God, which has become evil and twisted, which is something that's opposed from God. So when Adam and Eve sinned, the rest of their lineage, the rest of their offspring, were born with that heart, with that natural heart, with the natural heart that is not responsive to God. The natural heart cannot be obedient to God. The natural heart is unforgiving. The natural heart cannot allow the ways of God to conquer it, really. It's the natural heart where we find pride, where we find unforgiveness, where we find selfishness, where we find evil and malevolence. Where the natural heart is a heart totally opposed to God's heart, right? And we can see this in Jeremiah 17:9. This is what it says in Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. That's crazy. This is Jeremiah the prophet speaking what God wanted him to speak. And God himself said, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. And God said, who can understand it? It's beyond cure, right? In Matthew 5:19, it says that it talks about the condition of the natural heart, and it says this. Therefore, Matthew 5:19. Sorry, I probably gave you the wrong. the wrong verse there. I got it right here, though. Matthew 15:19, it says, "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual morality, theft, false testimony, and slander." That is the definition of the natural heart. The heart that we were born with after the fall of Adam and Eve, right? And like I said, that heart gives no place to the will of God in your life. It cannot allow the will of God in your life, right? And so then it also talks about the spiritual heart, or the heart that we should have of God. And in Galatians 5:22, let me read it up here. Because I might have gave Freddie the wrong reference. Okay, Freddie, let's just go to the next one, bro, which would be 1 Corinthians 3:4-8. Okay. 1 Corinthians 3:4-8, it says this, and this is the state of the heart that is of God. This is the heart that we should all have, but it's the heart of God, the heart that we don't have because we have a natural heart, right? So it says, "Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking, and it's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong." That's your heart, right? And that's not your natural heart, right? "Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. Always perseveres." And the first part of verse 8, "Love never fails." So there's the heart of the natural heart that we're born with, and then there's the heart of God, which we can see here. Which, if I were to take a poll, I don't think a lot of us would pass on having this heart, right? And we can see it because we still have bitterness in our heart. We still have unforgiveness in our heart. We still have evil intentions in our heart, right? We're not right there, not yet. But God has a way of getting us there. God has something about that, okay? And the heart, like I said earlier, is the most important thing that God is after. It's also the most important thing the devil is after. That's how important it is. The enemy knows that if it can get to your heart, he can start controlling and have his kingdom reign through you instead of the kingdom of God. Does that make sense? If you give him access to this heart, if you let him sit on the throne of this heart, you will be able to see how he can manipulate not just you but others and bring chaos into your life. There's a song that says, "There's a war between guilt and grace, and they're fighting for a sacred space." That sacred space is the heart. God wants to sit on the throne of your heart, but so does the enemy. And it's up to us to determine who sits on it. The one you give access to it is who sits on the throne of your heart. And our lives, and we can tell through the people and through situations and circumstances who's sitting on the throne of your heart. I mean, we can just see the world all around us. We can see the chaos. We can see the darkness. We can see the evil all around the world. We know what heart this world is ruled by. The heart of the enemy. The heart of the devil. You hear these atrocities and these things that break your heart, or that you just can't believe or unbelievable. It's because that's the heart of the enemy. Ruling and reigning through people. All right, but we don't even have to go so far. Yeah, it's the world, but then even in our own country, We can begin to see how it's breaking down because of evil hearts. And then we can see in our own cities. And then in our own households. And let's just get right to it in your own heart. And we can see how the enemy has begun to infiltrate and to deceive and to lie to. And now, not only our hearts, but our families are a function of a darkened heart. And so the heart is super important. The Lord is after it, and the enemy is after it. That's the thing they're after the most, the heart, right? And when me and my wife were talking about this, she was bringing up some stuff that had happened in the past in certain situations, and she's like, the stories she was telling me, and she said, man, she's like, I don't mean any ill will towards those people. I don't want anything bad to happen to them. It's just really hard to forgive them. And isn't that true? It is hard to forgive. It's hard to forgive someone who's hurt you so wrong. Someone who's misused you and abused you. Someone who's left you, backstabbed you. Someone who might have taken your dignity away from you. It's hard. It's hard to forgive. There's something in our heart that doesn't allow it. Yes, we read it in scripture and we believe it, but then when it comes right to it, you're like, ugh, I can't. And it's also the issue with not just unforgiveness, but then in the heart, there's these addictions. And we can't break them. And we say, Lord, I'm going to stop watching that. No, 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 not anymore. And Lord, I'm not going to drink that anymore. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to see that anymore. I'm not going to lie or cheat anymore. And this time, God, this time, watch. This time. And we fail. We fail. And my wife was telling me these things about the forgiveness part or unforgiveness part. And man, it's like the Lord deposited something that was like, well, yeah, Mike. While she was talking and she was done saying what she was saying, and that's why I said I believe it's the Lord, because Michael would have never came up with this. I said, you know what the problem is? And not just you specifically, yes, but in general. We have a misconception. The problem is that you think you have to forgive that person with that heart. You think you have to forgive them with a natural heart. It can never happen. The natural heart does not forgive. It can't. It's impossible. When God calls you to forgive, he calls you to forgive with his heart, not our heart. So then I was able to see how it's through his heart that strongholds are broken, not through our natural heart. It's through his heart that we are free. His heart, his spiritual heart of love, not our natural heart of sin. It's impossible. It's not in its nature. This natural heart is not in its nature to love, to break strongholds, to forgive. Look, an apple tree gives fruit to apples. It's in its nature. It's what it does. I don't care if it wanted to give fruit to oranges. An apple tree's only to give fruit to apples. I don't care how much it wanted to say, today I'm going to give, the fruit's going to be an orange today. It's going to be an orange. Watch, I'm going to try really hard and it's going to come out an orange. And guess what? It comes out an apple again. Because it's not in its nature to produce oranges. Your natural heart, it's not in its nature to produce forgiveness. It's not in its nature to allow the will of God to reign in it. It cannot do it. As much as you try, and we do, and we say, this time I won't, And I'm going to make myself stronger. And I'm going to make myself better. But we fail every time because we think we have the misconception when the Word of God says that we can do all things through Christ. We think it's through our heart, our natural heart. No, we can do all things through the heart of Christ who gives you strength. And so there, God has a solution for our brokenness. God has a solution to break our addictions. God has a solution to soften our heart. God has a solution to set us free. To allow His Spirit and His will to indwell our hearts, okay? Ezekiel 36:26 says this. This is the Lord speaking through the prophet Ezekiel. He says, I will give you, this is talking to the nation of, it's a prophecy talking to the nation of Israel that applies to us as well. I will give you a new heart. Do you know why it has to be a new heart? Because see, I had already said that there's no cure for the other heart. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. He says, I will remove from you your heart of stone. That was the natural heart. Not even God could have cured that heart. What He had to do was remove it completely. A heart of stone, calloused, that didn't allow His love and His forgiveness to penetrate it. I will remove from you your heart of stone, and I will give you a heart of flesh. When it talks about the heart of flesh, it talks about a heart that is receptive to Him. A heart that can now withhold the love of God, that allows His love to flow in and out of it. Okay. Second Corinthians says this, right? We all know this verse. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. What creation is he talking about? The old has passed away. What passed away? The new creation has come. The new heart has come. His heart has come. The old has passed away. Pastor Gabe said this yesterday, which I never saw. It passed away. When someone dies, we say it. They passed away. That's what happened with the old heart. It passed away. It's no longer here. Behold, the new has come. So what we need is His heart. We need the heart of God. We need Him to remove this heart of stone. And we need Him to implant His heart into us. If we don't allow that, we're always going to struggle. We're always going to think that it's on us. I don't forgive because I'm not good enough. I don't forgive because I'm not strong enough. When we do something and we try to do better and it works for a little bit, but then all of a sudden we fall again because it's not about you. You couldn't help it even if you tried, because this heart won't allow it anyway. The natural heart won't allow it anyway. You're swimming against the current. It's not going to work. So the solution that God came was to bring Jesus Christ. It's the gospel. It's the gospel. Here's the gospel. We had a sinful natural heart. We could do nothing about it. So someone that had the heart of God, that had no sin in it, had to come and live for us. And when He lived for us and He died with no sin, He was able to conquer this heart of stone. But He not only died in our place and stayed dead, but He rose again. And He gave us victory. What did He do? The new creation has come. He gave us a new heart for all those who believed. He gave the right to be called children of God. You're not His child unless you have His heart. So He comes and gives us the solution, which is the gospel, which is Jesus Christ, which is what we all need. So then, how do we allow God to put this heart into us? What is the response? How do we say, okay, God, I no longer want to live by this natural heart, this sinful heart that's opposed to you. I want to live by this heart that is a heart after your own kind, right? And I already said, usually, we're the ones who want to do all the work. We're the ones who want to make ourselves better. We buy books about it. We go to seminars. We listen to podcasts about how to better our lives or how to do better, how to be more disciplined and more of those things. And those are all fine. Those are all fine and good. But they'll never penetrate the heart of stone. What we need is God on our behalf helping us. Listen, it's not, the new heart has nothing to do with you and what you do, but everything to do with what Christ has already done and is continuing to do in you. That's what it's all about, okay? Look, Ephesians 3:16 through 17, it says this. Watch how God is the one who's working, okay? And here's why he's the one who's working, because if you did the work, you get the credit. You don't get to get the credit. He does. Pastor Gabe says instead of credit, he gets the glory. You don't get the glory, he gets the glory. So watch him work on your behalf, actually. Watch, okay. I pray that out of his glory's riches, it's his riches, that he may strengthen you with power through his spirit and your inner being. It's him, right? So that Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith, I pray that you so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That's him moving. That's him doing. Okay, Ephesians 3:20, just a few verses down, it says this. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. That's him. According to his power that is at work within who? Whose power is working? And who? It has nothing to do with you. You're special, but not that special. I'm sorry. Okay, to him, be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Hebrews 12:2. Says this, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer. Pioneer means the one who commenced, who started, who set on the voyage. He's the pioneer and perfecter, and other translations say is the finisher. So he starts it and he finishes it. What does he start and finish? Our faith. It's him who's doing the work. You can't sanctify yourself. Your natural heart won't allow it. We have to allow him to do the work in us. 1 Thessalonians 5:23-24 says this. This one's good. May God himself, not you yourself, not your wife, not your children, not any 3-step, 10-step program. May God himself, the God of peace. He's identifying what God it is. Sanctify you through and through. Who's going to sanctify you through and through? May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. 24 says this. Did I read it? Does it make sense? There's people listening to the podcast because sometimes I don't read it and then I'm like, what did it say? The one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. God, man, this was so liberating because I grew up thinking it was up to me, man. I thought it was all about me. I would put weight on my shoulders that I could not carry, that this natural heart couldn't perform. It's all God doing the work. He softens the heart. Actually, in Ezekiel 36:26, if we can go back to that. I'm sorry, Ezekiel 36:26. It's part of him doing it again. I know we already did it, but look. This is the Lord speaking, and he says, I will give you a new heart. And put a new spirit in you. I will remove, the Lord says. We can't do it ourselves. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. He's working. He's working. So then the natural response is then, because I even wrote this down in my journal, was like, what then is my part? What then do I do? How do I participate? What's my job? What's my responsibility? And in 1 Peter 5:5-6, it says this. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders, all of you. Clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Verse 6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. Then who's going to lift you up in due time? And he will lift you up in due time. Our responsibility, our part to play in, if you can say that, is to come to the foot of the cross daily. Because when we come to him is when he begins to take this heart of stone away from us. It's when he begins to infuse or give us this heart of flesh, this heart that is responsive to him. Our responsibility is to come to him always, to Jesus Christ. That's it. What he does after, the decisions you make after that new heart, we don't even have to worry about yet. It's coming to him daily. Some pastors say we must die daily. When we come to the cross, when we come to him, we die daily. I remember one time, this has only happened to me twice, so I'm not trying to say that it happens to me all the time. Y'all heard in the Bible of people having visions, right? Well, I had one, a small one. And I remember I was praying in my living room, and I was kneeling down praying, and then all of a sudden, I was like at this construction site, and they were building like this, you can tell, this beautiful home. It was like this cool house, like beautiful home. And they were in the bricklaying process. You know how they have scaffolds all around and those guys are up there putting bricks on there and stuff. And I saw this beautiful home and they were laying the brick and there was a guy on the scaffold. And he was picked up a brick and he was putting it on there, however they do it. And then in this vision, that bricklayer was Jesus. And all of a sudden, I knew that this house was me. And this is what he told me. He said, Mike, every time you bow your knee to me, I remember he said that, every time you bow your knee to me, I put another brick on this house. He said, I'm building it. He said, I'm building something beautiful, son. Every time you come and humble yourself, every time you come and bow your knee to me, I'm building you up. I'm doing something awesome in you. So, our responsibility is to come humbly before God, every day. Humble ourselves. Know that without him, we are insufficient. We are nothing. We amount to nothing. We can do nothing. We are going nowhere fast without him. Our responsibility isn't to try to make ourselves stronger. It's to humble ourselves so that he can make us stronger. It's all about him. It's all about him, and he gets to love you in the process of it. He's waiting with open arms. Come. He knows the love he has for you, and he's waiting for us to humble ourselves. Then the forgiveness, the word of God says in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, God is talking in the Beatitudes, and he says, you have heard that it was said long ago, love your neighbors and hate your enemies. And to the natural heart, that sounds right. Of course I'm going to love my neighbor, and then I'm going to hate my enemy. To the natural heart, that's right. Jesus says, but I tell you, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Only with the heart of God can we get there. This natural heart will not pray for our enemies and will not love them. No way, no how. I'll be the first to admit. That's why Christ had to come and make us a new creation, to infuse and give us his heart, remove this heart of stone, and give us this heart of flesh that's responsive to him. All of our problems come from the heart. And that is what Christ is after. That is what he wants to conquer. The whole narrative of the scriptures talks, it's all about the heart and how God loves us and wants to conquer our heart. The lengths and depths that he went to convince us and convict us and love us, to give ourselves over to him. That's the whole word of God. I mean, I don't know how many are so tired of living with this natural heart, of failing, of feeling unworthy, of having this anger and this unforgiveness, having this rage or these proclivities and propensities to do evil and think evil. God wants to remove that heart from you. He wants to make you into a new creation. The old just passed away, gone, dead. The new has come. What's our responsibility? To come humbly, humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift us up in due time. Can we stand, church? I think more important than obviously anything that I can say is what God wants to say to you directly, is our response to him. And that's what we're going to do right now. We're going to give an opportunity for you to respond to him. An opportunity for him to speak to you directly. Just imagine you have the privilege, like Pastor Gabe was saying, the opportunity to come face to face with the living God. The only one. The only one who could ever love you in your condition and love you so much that he would send his own son to transform that heart. He is in this place today, church. And we get to respond to him. We get to say, Lord, remove this calloused heart. This heart of stone that's not receptive to you, that cannot do your will. Remove this natural heart that still has rage and anger and unforgiveness. I now see that it's not through that heart that I should live and forgive, but it's through your heart. But I need your heart, Jesus. I need it, my King. My life depends on it. See, I want to do something. If you want to respond to God, if you're in that place, if you want his heart, if you want the old heart, the natural heart to pass away, would you respond to him by coming up here and making that transfer at the altar? Let it be a sign of faith, a sign of declaration that, Lord, I'm no longer going to live with this natural heart, but I need you to transfer this natural heart. Transform it. Remove it. Let your heart abide in me. Let your will abide in me. Let your love, your forgiveness, your peace, your grace, your wholeness, your completion, your satisfaction, your protection, your care. Let that heart now reside in me. Come in faith. Come in faith, my believing and trusting in an all-powerful God. You're coming and walking up to the God who nothing is impossible for him. A God who moves mountains. A God who shakes the earth when he speaks. King, respond to these hearts, my God. Respond only how you know how, Jesus. Begin to remove that heart of stone, Jesus. Let them have a heart of flesh, my King. Heart that can hold your love, my God. A heart that can allow your love and your mercy to flow through it, my King.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed the message. Remember to follow us on social media at Tree of Life Church or visit us at treeoflife.church. See you next time.